This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison and Noel Lim. 7:08 a.m. Wednesday, the 21st of October, and in about 15 minutes, we're speaking with Dr. Anbarasu Ramalingam, chairperson of Mercy Malaysia Sabah, for an on-the-ground perspective of what's been done to tackle the pandemic in the state. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Yes, Asian markets, the Nikkei was down 0.4%, Hang Seng up 0.1%, Shanghai Composite up 0.5%, the STI was down 0.6% and FBM KLCI down up there about 0.5%.
And then we've got the US markets, which were largely in the green, if not all, actually. The Dow was up 0.4%, the S&P 500 up 0.5%, and the NASDAQ up 0.3% on the back of some stimulus talks, I think.
Yes, sir. So for more insight into global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. So, Jeff, we have you now. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning. So since U.S. markets closed in the green, you know, with the White House appearing to come closer to that $2.2 trillion mark for stimulus plans, are you pricing in a deal before the election?
I think a deal before the election is going to be challenging. We've got 2 weeks to go. Even if they manage to get something over the line this week, they've still got to write the legislation. Then it's got to go to the House of Representatives. But the big bugbear is the US Senate, which is Republican controlled. And the comments from Mitch McConnell were very much hedging their bets. They seem much more focused on the US Supreme Court nomination than the stimulus trade. And additionally, what they have been saying is that they don't want to see a gigantic package, which is basically what is being negotiated. So whilst Pelosi and Mnuchin making a deal agreement would be initially bullish for the market, reality still may set in afterwards. So I'm 50-50 on it before the election.
So what trading patterns are you expecting as we near the US elections?
Yeah, this one's a little bit difficult because there's so many moving parts in the market and they all have to go well to get a positive result. But to be honest, I am expecting that there will be more risk aversion, particularly as we move into next week after the presidential debate on Friday, which will be another 1.5 hours of exhausting television for all of us. So I'm expecting the US dollar to gain strength into the election. I'm expecting US bond yields to fall as investors park money there. Possibly some strength in the yen, the Japanese yen, and also the Chinese yuan, that strength to continue. This will be more the haven trades. I think we're going to see more risk aversion and more money from investors being parked in supposedly safe places ahead of the election.
And generally, with when we take a look at China, you mentioned the yuan there, a little yuan there. With China's GDP seemingly back on track at this point, what measures do you think the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, will take to align monetary policy with Beijing's ambitions for further economic growth?
Well, I think PBOC, for one thing, have said there was an official who came out last week, quite significantly, actually made the comments in the weekend and said that he would let the markets set the yuan rate, which says to me that they're quite comfortable seeing a stronger CNY. They do have inflation there, which basically no one else in the world does. So they are probably quite wary of letting the yuan depreciate too much at this stage. I think this time around, it's not been blanket stimulus by the Chinese like after the global financial crisis. It's been much more targeted. So I think what we'll see is the PBOC offering loan facilities, but targeted at infrastructure and business and industry. What they don't want to see is another blowout in house prices. They'll be very much having their finger on the pulse about creating another real estate bubble.
And Jeff, there has also been a lot of jawboning from OPEC on oil prices lately, but do you think that they will actually take action on production anytime soon?
My thoughts here are that their line in the sand is probably around $35 a barrel in Brent crude. And if Brent crude was to fall to around that level and stay there for a week or two, that would probably see them rolling back the schedule of reducing their production cuts going forward. At the moment, I think we're, with Brent crude sitting around, I think it's about $42 this morning, perhaps a little higher. They're not happy about that, but that's not enough to have them rapidly change course. I think they're not going to try and predict what's going to happen in the markets over the US elections and after that either. They're going to sit on the sidelines, and probably there's a lot more hope rather than actual solid policy going on with OPEC. I think Europe's a big factor here with the resurgence of COVID-19 there. That could have a material downgrade to the consumption picture in the first half of 2020. So the risks are, I feel, that they're going to have to do something in the new year, but they're not going to move before the end of the year unless the hand is forced.
And moving to the Reserve Bank of Australia, they have signalled that they may take more action at the next meeting. Where do you think they'll go with interest rates, and are you expecting more quantitative easing?
I think next time, if it's anything, it's going to be another cut down to 0.1% from 0.25%. It's a strange world we live in when we get excited about a central bank cutting by 15 basis points, but I think that's really where they're going to go. The Australian data hasn't been that bad at the moment, actually, but they are still sounding a lot of warnings themselves. With China recovering so aggressively, that's obviously helped the export market hugely, even despite these little trade spats they're having on the sidelines with some other exports. So I'm not expecting more quantitative easing, but I'm expecting another dovish outlook and possibly another 15 basis point cut, which will be bullish for markets down there.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning, Jeff. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, giving us a perspective on a number of issues, including the US. So he's kind of 50-50 on a deal there, expects more risk aversion, particularly after the US presidential debate, the next one that we can expect in these last 2 weeks up until the elections. But just in, if we stay on the US, we have actually had quite a number of earnings results as well from there, including Netflix.
Yes, I'm looking at Netflix here. They reported its third quarter of 2020 results earlier today, and the company fell short of analyst estimates with earnings per share at 174 versus 214 as expected. And so just looking at what has happened, global paid net subscriber additions were at 2.2 million versus 3.6 million expected.
Yeah, this is really interesting, because if you take a look at the subscriber, paid subscriber growth, right, in a bit more detail, Wall Street, the one that particularly fell short was Latin America region, because Wall Street was expecting 705,000 new paid additions, but there were only 260,000 in that region. Europe, Middle East and Africa, they were expecting 1.25 million. There were only 760,000 new additions there. Asia was actually not so bad. They were expecting 1.1 million net additions in Asia Pacific. They got about 1 million. So Asia, seeing that not being as effective as the rest of the region, I think Latin America was a particular disappointment for them. And if you take a look at for the quarter, Netflix added in the same quarter last year, Netflix added 6.8 million subscribers. But I think they're not as optimistic going into the next quarter here. I think for fourth quarter, they're expecting 6 million paid net overall subscribers, which is well below the 8.8 million it added in the fourth quarter of 2019. So I think this was initially said, right? They were expecting a slower second half of the year, but I don't think Wall Street expected it to be this slow.
Yeah, nevertheless, Netflix said that it still expects the number of Netflix originals it launches next year to still be up year over year each quarter, despite delays to production due to global shutdowns. The company said that it's actually begun begun to restart production on some of its most popular titles, like Stranger Things. And their free cash flow was positive for the third straight quarter, at a positive $2.2 billion for the first 9 months of 2020.
Yeah, if I take a look at annual revenue going back to 2016, the company has gone from $8.8 billion in annual revenue in 2016 to what is expected to be $29.5 billion in 2021 full financial year. For the 2020 full financial year, they're expecting about $25 billion, which is $5 billion more than they made last year, $20 billion. So it is growing, but expectations, right? So the stock price has seen a significant boom in the last year on the back of the pandemic boost here, but maybe over past expectations, Doe Snap was over expectations.
Yes, it did. And they, you know, speaking of stock price booms, right? So they soared more than 22% after hours earlier today as they posted unexpected adjusted profit earnings for its third quarter 2020. So they saw adjusted EPS of 1 cent versus an expected loss of 5 cents as per Refinitiv. And revenue came in at just shy of $680 million versus the $556 million expected.
And perhaps this coincided with the stop hate-for-profit Facebook ad boycott, in which we saw some advertisers pausing their ads on Facebook. I think something like 1,000 advertisers, and perhaps some of them had moved to Snap.
Yeah, so Snap is expecting year-over-year revenue growth of 47 to 50% for their fourth quarter, with DAUs also reaching approximately 257 million. So lots to watch out for when it comes to Snap Inc. But right now we are heading into some messages, and then up next, we're going to be taking a look at the COVID-19 situation over in Sabah, speaking with Dr. Anbarasu Ramalingam, who's chairperson of Mercy Malaysia Sabah. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.